Today is the last Sunday of the church year. This year has flown by. Next Sunday, we're already going to be hanging the greens in Advent and preparing for Christmas. I don't know where the year went. I don't know if the weather was so nice that it just kind of crept up on us, but here we are, the last Sunday of the church year, known as Christ the King Sunday, a Sunday where we look forward to Christ returning as the King of Kings on the last day, and also in a way preparing for his kingship coming as a baby born in a manger in Bethlehem. It's one of those rare Sundays where the liturgical calendar, the calendar of the church, Christ the King Sunday, just so happens to coincide with the calendar of the world right now, because I was told that America's got a new king. We have a new president-elect. And so it's actually quite fitting that today we spend a few moments hearing God's word about what he says about kings, especially the power of a king and what happens to those who mock it. There's this power that a king has, this sense of authority that has been built into the creation. God has hardwired it into his creation, this authority and power. And I think the simplest form of it that we can get our hands around is that power of a parent. The parent has power over their children. This authority of a king dwells with parents and their kids. It's hardwired into creation, which is why children respect and honor their parents. So when your child wants something bad, parent has the authority and the power to say, no, that's not good for you. You're not going to do that. No matter how many times they cry, no matter how many times they ask, no matter how many things they say, the parent has the authority and the power to say no. And when your child mocks that authority, or when they mock any authority put over them, whether it's a teacher or a coach, or a police officer, you're the parent, you have the authority and power to render discipline to the child, to curb that disobedience. Parents have a lot more power than you realize. What you say goes. They will listen to you. I've been doing this for 3 years, and they listen every time. How'd you know I was joking? Yeah. But in all seriousness, parents have a lot more power than we realize. It's a God-given power, and when it's used according to his will in a God-pleasing way, it's for the benefit of the child. A child who grows up without that power, without that authority over them, they're a mess. It's not just bad for the parent, it's bad for the child. Train a child up in the way they will go, and they will never depart from it, says the Lord. That's true on both sides of the coin. You train a child to be obedient and honorable and respect authority, they'll never depart from it. You train up a child to disobey, to be disobedient and to not respect authority, they'll never depart from that. But this power that the Lord gives you, it's for the child's good. This power and authority that he gives to parents, it's for the good of the child. And so it is with the power of a king who has this power over their citizens. It's hardwired into creation, which is why we honor the king and respect the power that they have. And you dare not mock the king. In Jesus' day, to mock the king was sure and certain death. The king was seen as so powerful in his day that they called him Lord, a term reserved just for God. In fact, the first king that shows up in the New Testament, King Herod, one of the first things he does is he goes to Bethlehem and he has all the 2-year-old boys and under murdered because he's worried about another king. And then the next king comes along and he beheads John the Baptist, has his head served on a platter. You don't mock the king and get away with it. The king's so powerful that even in our own country, we've designed our laws and our constitution to try to limit that power with checks and balances. And for the most part, it is a very good thing because the king is powerful. But it has worked because many of us have no problem mocking the king in our land. It's practically a national pastime for us to mock those in power. TV sitcoms, shows, the news, even in our own personal conversations and posts, we live to mock the king. But you must not forget how much power the king really has. A God-given power, when used in a God-pleasing way, is good for you. A king has a lot more power than we realize, but all of that pales in comparison. Doesn't even come close to the power of the King of Kings, to the power that Jesus has. He has more power than we could ever realize. A writer in our epistle lesson puts it this way, that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Jesus is the almighty and everlasting God, the Alpha and the Omega, Yahweh in the flesh, a mighty warrior, the one who destroys armies by the thousands in the centuries of old, the one who strikes down the firstborn of all those in Egypt, the one whose eyes are like a flame of fire and whose voice trembles the mountains, the one who crushes through a winepress those who dare mock his name or his people. He is the one who holds all things together. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and all who are in power and authority have been placed by him, and through him he holds all things together. You dare not mock him. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself." The soldiers also mocked him, offering him sour wine. "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. There's a sign put above his head. This is the king of the Jews," a criminal. A criminal railed against him. "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself." And the first words out of this King of Kings mouth as he goes to his throne and receives his crown of thorns: "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He is a king like no other, a king who uses all that power and authority for mercy and for forgiveness, a king who would rather give up his own life than watch the weakest and most vulnerable and lowest citizen of his kingdom be destroyed. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the king, and he rules over everything. So what does it mean to have Jesus as the true king? Depends on which kingdom you're in, doesn't it? The writer of the Revelation puts it this way, that then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many diamonds. He had a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. and the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses, and from his mouth came a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule over them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What does it mean to know that Jesus is a true king? Well, for those who reject his kingdom, who deny his lordship, it means they live under wrath, being stored up on the last day. But for those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, it means you live under forgiveness. It means you live under grace and mercy every day. And this power to forgive is greater than you or I could ever realize. But let this suffice for today, that in the face of a life that crucified him, that in the face of those who mock him, that in the face of one who is so low and against him, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our King. Amen.